Fall prevention and why experts say falling is not an inevitable part of aging. Tomorrow is the first day of fall. That's why the National Council on Aging designates it as Fall Prevention Awareness Day every year. And every year, there are more and more people to reach, more baby boomers reaching the age at which falling becomes more common. The CDC estimates that one in every four people over the age of 65 fall each year, and that one in five of those falls results in a serious injury. Complications from falls are the leading cause of death for older Americans. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll learn why falls become more common with age and some simple ways to prevent falling. And we'll learn about local efforts to reach out to people at risk and their families. What are your questions about protecting yourself from falls while still enjoying a full life? Maine Calling is next, but first this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. It's no coincidence that we're talking about falls on the day before fall begins. That's because tomorrow is Fall Prevention Awareness Day, the first day of fall. Falls are the leading cause of injury in Maine, especially in older adults. And sometimes these falls can be fatal. Today we're going to discuss why falls occur and how to prevent them from happening. In the studio with me, Dr. Sarah Hallin. She's a geriatrician with the Maine Medical Partners Geriatrics and Program Director for Maine Medical Center's Geriatric Fellowship. She also runs a falls assessment clinic at Maine Med's Geriatric Center. And a guest is Fall Prevention Project Director at Southern Maine Agency on Aging. And Jason Adore is a physical therapist with Maine Strong Balance Center. As always, we want to hear from you. Have you or someone you know suffered from a fall? Are you looking for ways to prevent a loved one from falling? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Thank you so much for joining us, all three of you. And I just want to start by saying that this is a conversation that's changed over the years. Correct, Sarah, that we used to think of older people as frail, and we used to have encourage people to live their lives as though they were frail or fragile. That's not the case anymore, is it?
No. The more active older adults can be for the longer really shows that it has benefit in all areas. They're more social. They often have better cognition, and they have better memories. And really, the more active they can be as long as they can, it's really a benefit for them and the people around them.
So people ought not live in fear of falling.
No, actually, fear of falling is one of the number one risk factors for falling. If you're afraid that you will fall, imagine if you're walking on ice. Everybody changes their gait and they don't walk normally. And when you change your gait or are fearful, you may actually do something that may promote a fall. Or worse, if you're fearful of falling the whole time, you may not get up off your couch. And so the longer you sit, the weaker you become, the more debilitated you can, and it can have a spiraling effect on your ability to function and do the things you want to do every day.
And a guest at the Southern Maine Agency on Aging, you deal with older people all the time. Is this something, do you need to change a mindset to get people to think this way?
Yeah, Sarah, Jennifer, I think we really do. And we offer some really wonderful programs in the community that get at that. It's all about behavior change, and not just behavior change, but changing the way that we think so that older adults don't just think about falls as something that's going to happen to them as they get older. It's not just a doomsday scenario, that there are things that they can do that will make them less likely to fall and improve their health and take power back over what they want to do in their lives.
Okay, we're going to talk about some of those things they can do. I'll turn to you first, Jason. Physically, what are some things we all can do to make sure that we're stronger, we have better balance, we're not only less likely to fall, but also less likely to hurt ourselves if we do fall? Because let's face it, some of us are klutzes and we will fall.
Yeah, I think these are all really good points, because I think we need to reframe the conversation about falling from something that's inevitable and sort of a decline in health and function to something that's very modifiable. The evidence is overwhelming that you can tune up all sorts of systems that contribute to falls. And I think that's really the rub for me as a physical therapist is I figure there's over a dozen, there's about 17 different items that I look into in terms of why somebody falls. And a lot of these are modifiable. So some of them are as simple as talking to your doctor, which I'm sure Sarah can elaborate on. And from a physical therapy standpoint, I think that's a good place to start as well, talking with your doc to see if you fit the category of someone who could use a tune-up, as it were, from a physical therapist, community service, or otherwise.
So Jason, let's talk about some of the simple things I've read that you're standing there washing your dishes, try to do it on one foot for a little while, then another foot for a little while. Is that still some advice?
Yeah, I think that's really great. So the evidence is pretty clear that it takes about 50 hours of training to make a difference in your balance. So I think sometimes when people do little tricks like that, the discouraging thing is you can do this washing your dishes for a week and feel like you haven't really made any change. So 50 hours at first seems like a small number, but then when you think about how much time you're actually on your
foot. Yeah, when you're doing it 5 minutes at a time,
right. It's a big number. So these changes take, you know, months to, you know, some of these studies are looking at people up to a year. So I would encourage you to keep doing that type of thing, but just stick with it. It's very easy to fall off because you think you're the same, but you're different.
Okay. And Sarah, I know from some family experience that one thing an occupational therapist or someone will do, this happened with my husband's grandfather, came into the home and looked at it differently, looked at where the throw rugs are, where is furniture close enough together so that I could put one hand on one piece of furniture and another hand on another piece of furniture? How do you advise people to look at their own home as they age, especially?
Yeah, so there's a number of things you can do. Often, many agencies do what they call home safety evaluations, where they look at those things. They look in a patient's bathroom to see what level the toilet seat's at, whether they have grab bars, whether they have rugs. The one thing about throw rugs is everyone is, you have to get rid of your throw rugs because you'll trip over them. And a lot of people say, I'd rather trip than not have a rug in my living room. In some cases, you can remove them, but other cases, you can tape them down, tape down cords. They have wonderful duct tapes in about 60 different colors now that you don't even know it's there. So, it's about changing the environment you're in. One thing about furniture arrangement, it's good to do what they call furniture walking, which is, you know, positioning it where you can. But if you have an assistive device or something else like a walker, that close arrangement may not actually work because then you have to negotiate something in space. Removing clutter on the floor level is also very important because, again, it's a trip hazard. There's a number of things. Lighting, night lights in particular, can be very helpful, especially in the middle of the night. If somebody has falls. Every fall has a story, and one of the stories we hear about is that if people are rushing to the bathroom in the middle of the night because, you know, quite frankly, incontinence is embarrassing and they'd rather try and make it as soon as possible, if you could have a commode at the bedside or even use a urinal, it may be something that they can look at and adjust in your environment to keep you safe at home. One of the things you were saying that it's really hard for to convince patients to see their doctor about falls and falling is that they're afraid that we'll put them in a nursing home. You know, oh, no, I'm falling. They can't be safe at home. But if I can refer them to an occupational therapist or a physical therapist, look at their medications, these are things that we can prevent falls and bad outcomes as a result.
Right. And in terms of things in the home, too, the one that you hit on that I'm seeing a lot of is the nighttime issue. Vision is a huge player in falls. We know that it's it makes you about two times more likely to fall if you don't have the right prescription or can't see well in the dark. I mean, that's a setup for a fall. So lighting, particularly in the bedroom, particularly at nighttime, I think would be a nice take-home point just to keep in mind. And in terms of tips, obviously a light next to the bed's a good one. And I've had a lot of people who just like to use the remote control on the TV, just with the clicker they turn on the TV, and then at least they've got some light to see where they're going. That's something that I've seen has been pretty useful.
Well, and most people wear glasses as they age. Most people are post-40. And so I'm guessing in the middle of the night, most people don't have their glasses on.
But potentially. I mean, glasses, improving your vision in generally really helps. Glasses can sometimes be a double-edged sword because a lot of people have these lovely progressives now, which are great, but it can blur the line between what is distance and what is near vision. So if people are having difficulty with tripping falls, especially if they have any kind of memory impairment or have new bifocals or transitions, that line may actually, at least when you're getting used to the glasses, may put you at greater risk of falls and falling. In some cases, if somebody has memory impairment and they really aren't adjusting to it because they can't tell what's near and far necessarily, then you might even want to consider single vision glasses and have readers as another pair. I don't know if you guys have experience with that.
Well, Anna, I wanted to ask you, we were talking about home assessments, and I know they often happen after somebody falls. Can someone call Southern Maine Agencies on Aging or another organization before a fall and just say, can someone come look at my home and help me make it a safer place for me?
That's a great question. My agency doesn't offer in-home assessments, but we are a wealth of resources for older adults, and so we can help connect people with someone who could do that. We do balance screenings, though, in the community, which are typically free events, and people can just come and have a very quick screen of their balance, and we'll talk with them about how it looks and make recommendations, help connect them with some of the workshops that might be able to help.
How does somebody find out about a balance screening?
Yeah. Well, calling our agency, the Southern Maine Agency on Aging, is always a great place to start. Also, our website, www.smaaa.org.
All right. Well, we're talking about preventing falls. Seems like a very straightforward subject, but really a very serious health issue. One of the leading causes of injury and death in Maine. If you'd like to call, the phone number 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Sarah, I'm going to ask a very simple question that I know does not have a simple answer. Why do people fall?
Well, generally, the definition of a fall is unexpectedly going from one level to another, and it's that is it. So when you think about all the different reasons why someone may go from one level to the other, it could be for a whole host of issues. It could be the fact that they, for some reason, no longer have the strength in their lower legs. They may not be able to feel their feet in space. They may have difficulty with blood pressure issues. They may have difficulty with anemia. They may have difficulty with vision, inner ear problems. So those are a whole host of medical reasons why someone may fall. But then they could be icy outside. It could be that it's low vision, that they need an eye checkup and a new set of glasses. It could be that the shoes they have are not appropriate. It could be that there's poor lighting. So there's a whole host of both intrinsic, so things that are unique to an individual that puts them at particular risk and unique risk of falls, and then there are greater things that can put almost anyone at risk of falls in those situations.
All right. Peter, I read this morning that, Jason, I read this morning that if you are falling, try not to fall sideways. Why is that, and how do you do that in split second?
Yeah, so this is a topic we think a lot about as physical therapists, and you'll find different opinions depending on who you talk to, but in general, the thought process is if you fall on your side, there's the potential to break particular bones, which can be tough rehabs, particularly for older persons. So obviously the fractured hip is a big one, shoulder, and then if you put the arm out, the wrist is another problem as well. You know, I would argue protecting your head would be the number one thing to do in a fall, because if you've got that, you've got a lot, as opposed to even a small bump on the head can lead to some big problems. So we haven't necessarily come to a consensus on the best way to fall. You will find different resources that might give you different tips on how to do it. I would say just start with protecting your head, and everything else from there, it's going to be luck, unfortunately.
So if you're in the kitchen, make sure the head doesn't hit the counter.
That's
the idea.
Do
whatever you can so that the head doesn't hit the counter or the floor. You would all agree on that.
Yeah.
You know, it can be a really vicious cycle, though, can't it, if somebody falls and they break their hip? I mean, you said at the very beginning of the program, Sarah, that one needs to be very active, mm-hmm. especially in your older years, so that you don't get into a cycle.
Yeah, that's right. When someone has a major injury, breaking your hip is actually a very important event, and it can have poor outcomes months, years after the event. And so, but when somebody has a hip fracture or another injury, they often will go to a skilled rehab or a rehab situation, and there they work with physical therapy, occupational therapy. And you know, it's a big part of the mission in rehab is to get people back to their day-to-day function and to try and get them over that fear so they can resume doing the things that they want to do. Now, it may be with modification. It may be with a device. It may be in a different situation if there's a way to modify the home. But even though someone has had a fall, they really need to, you know, feel secure in their ability to move after a fracture in order to get really back to the quality of life they had beforehand. You really need to do what you can to move and stay active.
And I think that's the really important take-home point is there's things that we can do to prevent falls. And if we put our resources into that, that's potentially a better model than trying to play catch-up after it's happened and this cycle has started, because there's potentially things along the cycle that can be done to, you know, tune up or, fix after the fact. But there's just so many things that can be done before it's even happened to break that cycle before it starts.
Okay, Anna, say I'm just turned 65 years old. I've read the statistics. I know that I'm at greater risk of falling. I haven't fallen yet, thank goodness. What do I do?
Well, I think, as we've been saying, staying active is very important. And so that could take any form. I think anytime you can do something that you enjoy to be active, you're going to be more likely to stick with it. But, you know, one of the benefits of going and joining a class or a specialized workshop is that there's a social component as well, which, you know, isolation and getting out of the routine of being more social can be another problem that comes up with aging. And so, Tai Chi has been shown to be very effective for improving balance. It's we offer a great workshop in the community called Tai Chi for Health and Balance. It's an evidence-based program, and it's been shown to improve strength, balance, help to manage pain if you have arthritis pain, and it's very slow, gentle, continuous motion that just has a whole wealth of health benefits, aside from balance even for the brain, memory, and sequencing can really be improved by Tai Chi. So that's a great place to start. We have other workshops as well, and so I think getting in touch with your local area agency on aging is a great resource.
And there are area agencies on aging throughout the state. You're here with the Southern Maine, mm-hmm. but you say everywhere in Maine there are people you can reach out to for workshops and help.
Yeah, there are 5 area agencies on aging in Maine. They are centered in Scarborough, Lewiston, Augusta, Bangor, and Presque Isle, but they also have reach throughout the surrounding counties as well. And we're all partnering right now on a grant from the Administration for Community Living, which is making the availability of programs at the community level more widespread across the state so that people can get involved with things like Tai Chi or Matter of Balance and talk with their peers. And I think there's a lot of power in that, not just hearing from your healthcare providers, but hearing from your peers what they're dealing with, because it's probably very similar to what you are, and also just to share those experiences and gain a collective knowledge.
Well, we have lots of questions coming in, and we're going to get to those after this break. This is Maine Calling, and we're talking about preventing falls. Please stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do the Criterion Theater in Bar Harbor, presenting Spencer Albee and Star-Crossed Losers, September 22nd at 8. Tickets at CriterionTheater.org. And Maine Senior Guide, hosting the Fall Senior Expo on October 5th at the Hamilton Garden Inn in Freeport. Info at MaineSeniorGuide.com.
On the next Fresh Air.
I remember my knees shaking, and I was saying, holy smokes, I'm going into war. This is war.
We talk with Ken Burns and Lynn Novick about their new PBS documentary series, The Vietnam War, which is told from multiple perspectives, including the North Vietnamese. Join us.
Fresh Air is tonight at 7 on Maine Public Radio. And part 5 of filmmaker Ken Burns' The Vietnam War is on this evening at 8 on Maine Public Television. Tonight's episode, This Is What We Do. Enemy body counts and American casualties mount as GIs chase an elusive foe and face deadly ambushes and artillery. While Hanoi lays plans for a massive surprise offensive, the Johnson administration reassures the public that victory is in sight. The Vietnam War is on each evening, this weekend next, Sunday through Thursday, at 8, with a repeat immediately following. Tonight's repeat is at 9:30 on Maine Public Television.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, understanding falls and how to prevent them. With me in the studio, Anna Guest, who's Fall Prevention Project Director at Southern Maine Agency on Aging. Jason Adore is a physical therapist with Maine Strong Balance Center. And Dr. Sarah Hallin is a geriatrician with Maine Medical Partners. She runs a falls assessment clinic at Maine Med's Geriatric Center. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. On the line with us now is Patricia League. She is program manager for A Matter of Balance. Patty, Anna just mentioned a matter of balance before the break. What is it?
Well, thank you for letting me join you. A Matter of Balance is a program that is offered almost across on every state across the country, and it is a program that's evidence-based, and it is really designed specifically to address a person's concern around falling and really set the stage for them becoming more physically active. And it really goes through this in a small group and engages older adults in the conversation. And that's really a key part of why the program is so successful, because you're connecting with your peer group and you're talking about what's worrying you and addressing your concerns and really linking staying physically active with being independent in your life.
How does Maine compare with the rest of the country in terms of our rate of falls and how we deal with them?
Well, you know, it's pretty universal. About one in four people over the age of 65 falls, and that's pretty consistent. And Maine is right in that arena. But, you know, I think so much of responding to a fall is paying attention after a fall happens and setting the stage of whether it's working with your physical therapist or your physician, your health provider, about, you know, what is that you can do to stay to get back on your feet and recover. And part of that recovery is really dealing with that lingering fear or that concern. So paying attention before a fall ever happens, but then recovering and responding after a fall has happened really keeps you in the driver's seat of your own life.
Well, Patty, thanks so much for joining us. Patricia League, Program Manager for A Matter of Balance. So we'll make sure and put information about your program on the Maine Calling Facebook page. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And then we'll go to, let's see here. We've got Pat calling from Bangor. Hi, Pat. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling. I fall a lot. I'm 67, but I've always fallen a lot. Mostly it's tripping. It doesn't happen a lot at home unless I often will trip going upstairs, not as often going down. And it's kind of been a family joke. Oh, there goes mom again. But as I get older, and especially my husband fell and broke several ribs last winter. So it's made me think about, you know, I'm getting older. My bones are feeling a little bit more brittle. It's like, why do, you know, what do I do?
So what I would recommend is actually seeing your physician. So people always talk about being clumsy. As you know, I've always been clumsy. I've fallen since I was a child. But, you know, not everybody is clumsy. And what if you're falling more or having more near falls as a result of your clumsiness, you know, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, there may be something new or different that has changed. So it may be that you may be not sensing your feet as well, or you may be having difficulty with vision, eyeglasses. It may be a strength issue. One of the when people sit a lot, they actually lose, and you can talk a lot more about this than I do, but you lose strength that allows you to pick up your legs in particular and get up out of a chair. So you may not be clearing your feet the way it was.
Right,
shoes
yeah.
can play. There's a lot of reasons that people who may have a predisposition to tripping may be tripping more. And so when something is more or happening more often or is worsening, no matter what that symptom is, and falls really is can be a symptom of something more serious going on, they really should get evaluated.
Is it also a good idea, as we all age, to not be fearful, but maybe just be a little more careful? Hold on to that hand railing if it's available. Slow down and do the shuffle when you're on ice.
This is something we actually talk about a lot in Matter of Balance, and we use a traffic light sort of metaphor. So, you know, you may find yourself like seeing a red light during certain activities. So walking on ice, you know, that might always be a red light for people. But sometimes people react to a certain situation as a red light that really should be like an orange, like a proceed with caution or even a green light for them. And it might mean that they have to do things a little bit differently or plan ahead of time or be cautious, but that we want to teach people that they still can engage in their lives and do the things that they want to do.
We have an email from Belle. Maine has the highest per capita number of residents with multiple sclerosis in the U.S. Aging, unfortunately, isn't the only reason for falling. I've seen physical therapists several different times over the years, and it's been extremely helpful. Transmission glasses are wonderful, but can still get bifocals with a line like they used to be, so tripping isn't an issue. Something else to think about falling, not only protecting your head, but protecting your mouth. If I have dental pins, especially if you have dental pins or dentures, my question is, where can I go to get some assistance with cost and installation of an exterior handrail?
Boy.
There are community mobility grants. You should probably talk about this and what SMA or other things may have.
Yeah, there are a lot of different ways to probably approach that. I think, again, you know, anytime you have any question about aging and resources or, assistive equipment or devices, I think going to your area agency on aging is a great place to start. And they may not be the person to actually get you the service, but they can help connect you with that resource.
You know, another option, too, is to get in touch with some of your town political structures, because many towns in Maine have different handyman brigades and things like this, where there's volunteers who, if cost is an issue, you can apply for help in your community. So you might want to check there as a starting point as well.
Okay. We'll go to Evelyn, who's calling from Auburn. Hi, Evelyn. Go ahead.
Hi. First I want to say how much I love your programs, Jennifer.
Oh, thank you.
I really love them a lot, and your voice is very good. Then I want to say that I'm 94 years old. I'm legally blind, although I can see. I walk 40 minutes a day, and I exercise 20 minutes a day, and I live alone. And I have a medical alert that I wear around my neck.
I want to commend you, Evelyn, for doing everything right. It sounds like you are really actively engaged and staying independent and healthy and taking all the right steps that we would recommend for you.
Yeah, truly excellent. That's awesome.
Thank you, Evelyn, for calling. We're going to go to a tweet from Jim. How do you help someone who's been told their balance system doesn't work anymore due to cochlea being non-functioning?
So the cochlea is part of the vestibular system, and there's a lot of good therapists out there and doctors. You know, a good place to start is always your doctor, because they're really the quarterback in terms of who's out there to help you. And there are certain conditions in the inner ear which are largely irreversible, but it's always worth looking into and having a specialist take a look. And the other piece that I would I always think about, too, when I've got somebody who's got a particular condition that I can't treat that particular piece of it, just keeping in mind that falls are multifactorial. So if one particular system is unable to change, you can make your other systems a lot more robust to compensate or at least mitigate your risk, even if you can't move the needle on that particular issue.
All right. We'll move to Erica calling from the University of New England. Hi, Erica. Go ahead.
Hi. I run an older adult fitness and wellness program out of UNE's College of Osteopathic Medicine, and I've actually worked with Anna before. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Erica.
The program that I run alongside Dr. Marilyn Gallucci is called UXL, and it stands for UNE's Exercise and Conditioning for Easier Living. So along with a myriad of exercise programs we offer, our focus is always to improve strength, balance, proprioception, and reaction time. And we offer programs at different types of senior living communities, but we also have created an evidence-based balance enhancement program. This program is titled The Balancing Act, and it can be found in PDF format, and that's for free on our website. The best way to find our website would just be to Google UNE UXL to scroll down, and you will find the fifth edition of the Balancing Act. And the Balancing Act program is an evidence-based program geared towards anyone looking to improve their balance. It's geared towards individual use, but I also have taught the exercises in a group format. It starts out with beginner static standing exercises. Some people might find the first couple of exercises very easy, whereas other people might find them very difficult. The program was designed to encourage everyone to participate and not feel discouraged at all or give up.
Great. Erica, I thank you for calling, and I welcome you to go to the Maine Calling Facebook page and put a link to information about the program. I really appreciate it. We're going to move on to Kate in Portland. Hi, Kate. Go ahead.
Hi, I was wondering if you had any advice for helping family members that are sort of not compliant with using their walkers, either because of memory loss or just sort of being stubborn.
Well, that is actually, I was anticipating this question because it's one of the number one questions I get regardless of where I am. And so the memory loss thing, it can be more challenging than, say, a lack of insight that I don't need that, you know, that's for older people. The memory loss, when you have an assistive device, and there's a number of them you can use, you know, a cane or a gray-wheeled walker or a rollator, they all have different strengths and weaknesses, and they can be sometimes take a lot of coordination and tricks to use them correctly. So if somebody has memory loss and they feel, you know, it's been recommended that they use it, you know, if they can't remember to use it, that's one thing. If they can't use it safely due to, you know, not being sure how to use it, that's another thing. So that might need to be very creative and collaborative with a physical therapist to see if there's something else that may be more appropriate. In some cases, if memory loss is particularly severe, sometimes the assistive device actually does more harm than good because people will trip over it or they'll try and sit on it and it will move or something like that. The whole insight thing is, so I don't need that, that'll make me look old, is a harder one to get around because they're right. You know, a lot of people equate assistive devices as a sign of weakness. But I actually like to think of it as something that will help you keep up with other people. If you are afraid to go out because you are afraid that you might fall, bring the assistive device. And as the baby boomers are aging, the assistive devices are getting kind of cooler, for lack of a better thing. You see a lot of people with L.L. Bean walking staffs instead of a traditional cane. All the rollators now are like in hot rod colors. They're like candy apple red. And they look, you know, the baskets and other accessories. And there's a number of things that are making these assistive devices more acceptable. But it's really getting over the stigma that it's not a weakness to need one of these. It's actually a smart thing to do. And
yeah, I found making it really goal-oriented in terms of why you're using it. So something, for example, like, you know, we always want to take that trip, and, you know, you and I both know that it's hard to do X, Y, and Z, and that'll give you access. So having something to look forward to, because that's the whole point of the device, is to give you access as opposed to limit you. And my other thought process is I always want to be realistic in what I'm telling folks. But, you know, again, the evidence is overwhelming that balance can be tuned up, walking can be tuned up pretty much across the board, even if there are cognitive issues going on. So oftentimes I'll start with somebody by saying, hey, listen, I'm recommending you use this device because my tests are showing that you're a fall risk. But let's do X, Y, and Z to try to see if we can make your fall risk less if this is a goal for you to get rid of that.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call, Kate, and good luck to your family. I want to read just a couple emails quickly before we go to a break. Here's an email from GB. I have been doing Tai Chi for several years, and it has helped my balance greatly. It was not bad, but now it's so much better. I am 78. An email from JS. Total Resistance Balance Exercise, or TRX, is a great way to develop balance and build the muscles that support all of our joints. TRX is a low-impact training system that uses support straps to enable yoga-like stretches and poses, good for body and mind alike. Here on Deer Isle, we have an excellent physical fitness center where people of all ages can benefit from TRX classes that enable people to regain muscle strength and balance, for example, after joint replacements. And Marge wants to let us know that Aroostook, RSVP, with the Aroostook Area Agency on Aging, offers free Matter of Balance classes for seniors to prevent falls. And she says, if you live in Aroostook County and are interested in Matter of Balance, please call 764-3396 or 1-800-439-1789. And on that note, we do have to take another break. When we come back, more of your questions. Stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does WEX, providing global payment solutions for the fleet, travel, and health industries. Career opportunities at WEXINC.com.
Fear of deportation is real for thousands of people living in New England without documentation. But that fear can also be used as a weapon of domestic violence.
I was afraid every time he did something to me because I couldn't call the police, because he'd say to me that if I called the police, they're going to deport me.
On Next from the New England News Collaborative, we'll explore a visa program meant for immigrants who've been targets of crime. I hope you can join us.
Next is at 2 o'clock tomorrow on Maine Public Radio. Join us today at 2 o'clock following Maine Calling for Climate One on Harvey and Irma, a hurricane's human fingerprints. From Katrina and Sandy to Harvey, Irma and Jose, how is climate change fueling these increasingly destructive hurricanes? Climate One delves into politics, costs, and human causes of the megastorms pummeling our planet. That's again today at 2, following Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling today on the program, Ways to Reduce the Chance of Falling. Joining me today, Jason Adore with Maine Strong Balance Center, Sarah Hallin, who's a geriatrician with Maine Medical Center, and Anna Guest with Southern Maine Agency on Aging. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. I want to ask you before we go back to the calls, though, Sarah, about medications and other substances, whether they're alcohol or marijuana. How do these things affect one's chance of falling?
So when, you know, the issue about medications and falling, the biggest types of medications that we worry about in terms of falling, if somebody is starting something or is using something that would cloud their sensorium, so make them sleepy, make them less aware of their environment. And I'm glad you brought up alcohol, because people don't consider alcohol as a medication, but it's a drug just like anything else. And so, you know, older adults do drink, but a lot of times they don't realize that as we age, alcohol can actually hit us harder than we were younger. So we may always have had two drinks, you know, with dinner. But as you get older, so men's tolerance turns into women, and women turns into children in many ways. So it is almost double the effect on you. So alcohol is one we have to think about a lot. And if somebody is having a history of falls where they're happening frequently in the evening or something else, it's something that as a physician I worry about. Additionally, other drugs, benzodiazepines, so things that people take for sleep or anxiety, again, they can cause that same kind of feeling of cloudedness, I guess, is something we worry about. But then there are other medications that not directly but maybe indirectly cause falls, such as blood pressure medications, diuretics, and a whole host of them. So really, it's such a list that it's hard to go through in a format like this, and that's really why people need to go to their doctors and have them bring their brown bag of medications with them and have them the doctor go over them in detail.
Well, I'm thinking, right as you say, diuretics,
yeah,
that it could affect your ability to fall, but also if you're on a diuretic, you may need to get up in the middle of the night.
Perfect.
So a double whammy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Can I also say here, too, the more medications you're on, the more likely you are to fall. So, you know, having regular reviews with a pharmacist or your doctor is really important in understanding how they all work together and how that impacts your risk of falling.
We're going to Robert in Standish. Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
Hello. I'm a physician, and I started suffering vertigo. And I think you need to address that. That causes a lot of falls because it was causing me some issues. Mm-hmm. And originally, I was diagnosed with BPPV, benign positional vertigo. And I had various techniques that were done to me, and I learned them myself and other people, and it seemed to control it. Did the all the things that you mentioned in the previous callers with Tai Chi, Qigong, and all the other things. And that I saw 11 physicians before the diagnosis was made 4 years later. Turns out the second physician, who specialized in balance, diagnosed me with Ramsey-Hunt syndrome type 2. Not a common, not a rare, but it is uncommon. And medications have taken care of it. I've been athletic all my life, and I thought that I had to prematurely retire because I was unable to control the vertigo up until that stage. So vertigo needs to be diagnosed, and sometimes it's a very difficult diagnosis to make. And it is treatable, and it does respond to therapy, and there are different types of vertigo.
I completely agree. Vertigo can be hard because the term dizzy or dizziness means different things to different people. But I think you give some excellent points that, A, it's something that needs to be investigated, worked up, that even here in town, there's people who do vestibular therapy that can help with inner ear problems, and a number of ENTs and other people who specialize in it. So if something is persistent, I would continue to pursue it, especially if it's vertigo.
Right. I'm really glad you brought that up because the numbers on – so the vestibular system is this inner ear system that's responsible for balance or partly responsible for balance that goes haywire when people are dealing with the BPPV. And the stats on having trouble with your vestibular system is in any four-year period, so that's like high school, any four-year period, 35% of the population is going to be dealing with some sort of vestibular issue. Maybe it comes and goes. Maybe it's something really persistent.
Wow.
And those persistent ones are really gnarly. I mean, that's a nasty thing to go through for a long period of time.
It can be very disabling, yeah.
So he's right. That's a big chunk of what's relevant to the balance conversation. There's a lot of specialists that can help, MDs, physical therapists, and there are some medications and things as well.
Mm-hmm. Robert, thank you so much for calling and sharing your story. We're going to go to a tweet from Marge. Marge says, don't stand up and walk right away. Get your balance and allow your body to adjust to standing before you start to walk.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So a lot of people are dealing with what's known as postural hypotension. And what this refers to is the blood pressure is a really dynamic thing. So instead of having one blood pressure, it actually changes with what you're doing. So as you go from sitting to standing, there's a pretty good chunk of folks who start feeling faint. She's right on. One of the best things to do is just sort of stop and wait a minute. If you fall into this category, other things to think about are doing a little exercise before you stand up. So sometimes I'll recommend just doing some ankle pump or opening and closing your hands for a couple minutes, making sure you stay hydrated. Being hydrated is a big deal in terms of blood pressure, as long as that jives with everything your doctor's recommended. And avoiding things like really hot showers can go a long way as well.
Yeah, that's good point. If you're having those symptoms, I would definitely speak to your physician because it very well could be medication related.
Elizabeth on Facebook writes, my mother, who is in the early stages of dementia, 74, has fallen twice severely in a one-year period, both times on her face, one of which I witnessed. I also saw that she had been shuffling her feet instead of picking them up. The second time she fell, she tripped on a root. When I pointed out to her that she was shuffling, she argued that she did so because she didn't want to fall. Mm-hmm. I told her this is why she fell. Is this a common symptom of fear of falling, or is it solely related to dementia?
I think that's big time. I see a lot of shuffling in folks with balance issues with dementia or otherwise. I think it's unrelated to, well, not unrelated, but it's not exclusive.
People can shuffle as they get more advanced dementia. It's part, sure. You know, you can see that. But when you're fearful of falling, you want to get as much of your foot on the floor at one point in time. It's, again, like when we walk on ice, when we're all fearful of falling, we shuffle naturally. And it's just such an innate thing. So you're right. I think it is, you're right. A lot of people who do not have dementia shuffle when they're fearful of falling. But again, with dementia and other neurologic progressive things, you do see some shuffling as well as part of the disease.
And is Elizabeth right? Is the shuffling what's causing her to trip?
Well, you want to speak to the gait mechanics of it, yeah?
Yeah, so when you're going through the swing phase of gait, so the swing phase is when you come off your foot and your foot's in the air and you're sort of on one leg. In typical mechanics, the first thing to hit the ground is the heel. And the reason that's brilliant is because the heel's unlikely to catch versus if you're shuffling, you're leading with your toe, and that's a recipe to catch a rug, a root, you name it.
Mm. Oh, my. So we'll go to Michael in Chesterville. Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Wonderful show. I spent many years living next door to my parents and was with them a lot in their later years. And one piece of advice that I would have that I discussed with my mother especially many times was squaring herself to her work. If the phone rang behind her, she would tend to twist toward the phone before her feet got into action, and that would sometimes cause a fall or a near fall. And if she could train herself to move her feet first, if she wanted to pick up a dish off the counter, to square her feet to the counter before she, instead of twisting sideways to grab onto the dish, those sorts of things seem to make to keep her feet maybe, you know, close to shoulder width so she had a good base to start from.
Probably good advice for all of us, right, Sarah?
Yeah, I would say so. One thing is when we get older, our reflexes, especially our balance reflexes, to right ourselves when we tend to tip one way or another can be slowed. So the stuff that we got away with when we were younger, we're no longer as able to do so. So I think if you can design your workspaces, and again, we talked about a home safety evaluation way at the beginning, but if you can design your spaces where you're not running or reaching quickly or things that could perturb your balance, the better off you'll be.
Michael, thanks for calling. I think we have time to squeeze in one more call. We'll go to Jason in Portland. Hi, Jason. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for the program, Jennifer. Really enjoy it. I've been teaching an evidence-based Tai Chi program for about 15 years in the Portland area, and I just wanted to commend the people doing the Matter of Balance and as well as the work that Anna does at SMAA. They've done a lot to promote Tai Chi, and I've seen hundreds of people, both old and younger, benefit from the evidence-based Tai Chi programs I teach. And one of the big components, and a lot of your callers and the guest panel have mentioned, one of the biggest components that we focus on in the very beginning is base of support, the basic foot posture to, you know, kind of cultivate better habits in terms of how you step, when you step. And one of the parts that's really important with that is with Tai Chi that helps is when you shift from forward to back or left to right is not just the strength of the leg, but also the force control, which is kind of like the stabilizer muscles. And that's a huge part of the training of Tai Chi. It's one of the aspects of the slowness that you get a lot of the small motor muscles, the smaller stabilizer muscles to kind of engage as well as the core.
Jason, thank you so much for calling, and I invite you to go to the Main Calling Facebook page and put information about your classes. I'm going to try to squeeze in one more call here. I'm going to go to Holly in Westbrook. Holly, if you can ask your question quickly, that would be great.
Okay, I'll try. My question's a little different. I have osteoporosis, so I'm looking for an exercise program that will strengthen my bones. I already walk a fair amount, but I want something to strengthen my bones so that if I do fall, it's less catastrophic for me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a similar answer to all of these, but I'd start with your doc and to sort of talk about what different resources are out there. Certainly a physical therapist, if we'd be able to sort of tailor an individualized program. We find weight bearing is very helpful in, making bone stronger, and that might be the best route is to go through an individualized exercise program if your doc agrees.
All right, Holly, thanks for calling. I want to ask you, Anna, before we go, about tomorrow. Tomorrow is Fall Prevention Day. What's going on?
Well, we have a whole calendar of events planned. We've been working with our statewide Falls Prevention Coalition to sort of harness everything that people around the state have going on. So tomorrow there are a number of balance screenings. Jason and I will actually be offering one in Scarborough. So we will get Jennifer that information.
And so put it on the Facebook page.
That's
Thanks
right.
so much, all of you. And I'm sorry to rush you at the end. Anna Guest, Fall Prevention Project Director at Southern Maine Agency on Aging. Jason Adore, Physical Therapist with the Maine Strong Balance Center. And Dr. Sarah Hallen, Geriatrician with Maine Medical Partners and Program Director for Maine Medical's Geriatric Fellowship, as she also runs a Falls Assessment Clinic. Roddy Nickpour ran the board today. Maine Calling's produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, Understanding and Preventing Suicide. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.